the deal. When worse come to
Hello and welcome to another episode of LA Podvidential. My name is Chauncey Talese and I am the LA editor for Sports El Vente. Great website, you should all subscribe. Alright, today's show we're going to talk a little bit about Rams-Bears, preview Rams-Eagles, and then I'm going to be joined by my friend and comic book enthusiast Wes Campbell. We're going to be talking about the season of The Flash, the crossover episodes, and talking about a couple trailers that dropped last week. But first, let's start with Rams-Bears. A game that still haunts me because the Bears' defense really showed up and Goff got murdered. They lost 15-9, including a play where the goddamn offensive tackle scored a touchdown, so yay. That was fun.
Yeah, you credited the big guy.
I know, no, look, I was an offensive lineman in high school. Like, I would have killed for those plays. I'm surprised he didn't run any of those. Well, I'm actually like not that surprised. I mean, our offense is predicated on 12-year, so... But anyway, all right, Wes, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. So, the big takeaway after the Bears game was, once again, does Goff suck? Is it all Sean McVay? And, you know, a couple months ago, it's, well, Goff might be an MVP candidate, and he's really turned a corner. Now it's back to being a bum. Whereas you're a Cowboy fan, so you're getting the reverse with Dak. It was all great stuff because of the rookie year. Now he's a bum, and now he's cool again because they have Amari Cooper.
See, I don't think that Goff is a bum or anything like that. I think in terms of McVay is a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Goff is also a great quarterback.
Aww.
But I think at this time, you know, it's good that you guys are losing right now. Not just for home field advantage or anything, but get the losses out of the way, then recover for the playoffs. Because look what happened last year. They went on this big win streak towards the end of the season, and then they got invited to the playoffs and didn't even show up.
Well, yeah, they had a couple of miscues. Like, I don't think they should have rested everybody for Week 17. I got why they did it last year, but... You know, they should have played them like at least a quarter because they looked rusty and this looked like the moment was too big for them, and there was just a couple bad plays that just swung that game.
Yeah, but I don't think that Goff is a bum, but I mean that
I know
you guys are playing in LA where LA is what 60 degrees and we consider that ice cold, whereas in Chicago it was
28. I don't think it was the cold though. I just think the Bears defense is really good.
Well, yeah, and the Bears defense is playing crazy right now. Who would have thought
they
that?
They ran a bunch of stunts and were able to do all that stuff so that the Rams couldn't run the ball, and they can't run the ball. They can't do their play action, They're screwed. I just find it really funny that, like, Wentz and Dak get the benefit of the doubt, like, when things don't go well, but because everyone's still so haunted by Goff's rookie year, which wasn't all his fault, they're just like, nope, that's the Goff we know. All this stuff is just Sean McVay being able to control him like a puppet. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think there's more of a stigma towards Goff because he was that first overall pick.
Yeah. And
there's expectations that come with that.
Well, like, the Eagles traded up, like, just as much stuff for Wentz at two. Wentz, because he started okay and, like, was kind of fine during that first year, it's like, well, Carson Wentz is good. Whereas Goff played for a coach who, A, hated his guts, and B, didn't believe in football. It was run past 1905. Like, it was a bad situation.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, the Rams do have, I'd say they have more eyes watching them versus the Eagles. Let me spit this point out.
Okay.
Eagles are, yes, they're the defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
There's obviously, you know, stigma that comes with that. You need to repeat, whatever. They're not the Patriots. Thank God. but with all the acquisitions that LA did in the offseason, they're that, was it 2008 Eagles? the dream team.
But that was different. Like, the Eagles brought in a bunch of people who were, like, already washed. Like, they brought in, like, Ronnie Brown, Vince Young. I mean, Asamoah was really the big acquisition ever, and also just, like, names. Like, at the Rams, it was a little bit more organic. Like, funny. Like, they brought in a lot of people, but it's, like, it wasn't, like, holy crap, they traded for, like, 2010 Darrell Revis or something. Like, it was, they got Marcus Peters towards the end of his rookie deal. They got Sue for a year. Like, it's not, like, you know what I mean? It was like they brought in a lot of people, and it was kind of a big deal. But it wasn't like anything more than the Eagles did last year. Like they traded for Jay Ajayi the deadline, and they brought in a whole bunch of other people too. I don't know. Like for me, I just feel like with Goff, I get why people are like reticent. Like, oh, don't pay him. You don't need to pay him $20 million a year. But at the same time, it's like he's just as good as Wentz or even Dak. But I think everyone's just still so scarred by how bad he was that first year that they're like, well, he still sucks, and he has to like prove it every week. Like even if they win the title, like I still be like, I don't know if Goff's that good. It's all McVay.
Yeah, and this, I mean, unfortunately, the same can be said about, you know, Wentz and Prescott, because Prescott again had that big, you know, rookie deal or rookie year, but that was compliment to Zeke and
they're really the line,
the elite offensive line, exactly.
I know,
but look at last year when Zeke got suspended. Bullshit. still bitter about that, but anyway. Yeah. He pretty much just folded, and he couldn't. There was no play action, no nothing.
But everyone's like, oh, well, his line's banged up. They don't have Zeke. They still have the Clapper as their coach. Like, there's a whole bunch of, like, excuses for him. Which, and even they came into this year, like, it wasn't even until they traded for Cooper, everyone's like, I don't know if Dak's good anymore. Like, he just got a lot of benefit of the doubt, which I get because they went 13-3 his rookie year, you know, but still, like, it's just kind of funny how, like narratives just stick. They just stick there. Like Dak was able to have off games. Like, it's fine. Like, they'll get rid of the Clapper, which that's not happening anymore. But
unfortunately,
well, you know, what?
I mean, hey, you know what? I'm glad. Yes, being a Cowboys fan, yes, I'm glad that, you know, obviously they turned their season around. Like, they're actually fighting for something. But the thing that frustrates me with Jason Garrett is that he doesn't adjust his game.
No.
What he does is he'll come out strong, and then once he gets a lead, instead of doing like what Sean Payton does and all these other coaches, winning coaches, putting their foot on the gas pedal to finish the game, he kind of just coasts, and then once the other team catches up.
Yep. Well, he's just really he just seems like really super conservative, when it's like,
yeah,
like the reason why McVay and like Sean Payton,
you can't be conservative in the NFL.
Well, no, like
especially in the league now where it's everything is passing.
Yeah, like Payton, Reed, McVay, Frank Reich to a degree, like they keep their foot on the gas.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, speaking of Frank Reich, it's kind of interesting that, like, I didn't realize how bad the Eagles were on third down this year, but, like, a big part of it was because Frank Reich was, like, their third down guy last year. So, like, a lot of their third down packages are now in Indianapolis. So, it is kind of funny, like, how that stuff shifts. And then I thought DeFilippo was going to be, like, the big guy everyone's, like, fighting for, but now he's, like, unemployed.
It's funny how things just change so quick in the NFL. Like, I know. You have a good week, and then the next week.
I guess I didn't realize, like, with the Vikings, though, I had been hearing, like, oh, like, DeFilippo, like, I think there was a whole bunch of Discord because he, like, all he wanted to do was pass so he could, like, make his resume look better for next year. Like, oh, that makes sense. That's why they didn't run a lot.
Yeah. And you got a young stud in Dalvin Cook, and you got the compliment and Latavius Murray. Like, why not incorporate that into your offense? You're paying your quarterback ridiculous amount of money for someone that personally I don't think should have deserved that. He's not that great.
I mean,
when he had an 0-7 career,
he was written of it. Here's the thing with Cousins that worked to his benefit. It was like playing for Dan Snyder was like the smartest thing, because it's like, well, why didn't they just re-sign him? I was like, well, because they're incompetent. It has nothing to do with Cousins. It's because they're Washington and they're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, he rode that train for years.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah, and But you know, like, it worked out. You I got think $20 million a year.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Then they'll get an OC that actually works for them, and then they'll beef up their line, and they'll be good next year. And it'll be like, oh wow, Cousins turned it around. Like,
yeah,
You know, whatever.
I like Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer's a good guy.
What's funny though is like DeFilippo, I know will get a job anyway because like the demand for like Sean McVay type coaches is so high, but the supply is so low.
Yeah,
especially if like Lincoln Riley stays in college or whatever. So, like, he's going to get one anyway. I can just see him being, like, the head coach of the Jags and it being a disaster.
Or the Browns.
No, the Browns. I still like Mike McCarthy. He's going to be the Browns coach.
Yeah, I can see
him. Him or Harbaugh? Well, no, Harbaugh will probably take over the Broncos job once they fire Vance Joseph.
Jim or John?
John. No, Jim's going to stay at Michigan, I think, for, like, one more year.
Yeah,
because like
I know he said that he was.
They were like almost making. They almost made the playoffs, so they're like, oh well, you know, the Michigan people haven't turned against him yet.
Yeah.
And his life gets a lot easier because Urban Meyer left Ohio State.
So yeah.
He won't like that'll be. He won't have to at least deal with that every year.
Yeah.
At least until Urban Meyer comes back to coach like USC or something in like 2 years. Which, you know, I was talking to the college guy last week about that, and like, it wouldn't shock me. Like, Urban Meyer's like, oh, my heart's feeling a lot better, you guys. Like, what's open?
I miss it, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Whose job can I take?
Exactly. Well, yeah, whatever. That's his game.
Yeah.
He won't go to the pros or anything, so that's kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
But speaking of quarterbacks who are going to get paid, Carson Wentz isn't starting for the Eagles on Sunday, but Nick Foles is. And they said that Carson Wentz might not actually be back for the rest of the year. They're going to evaluate, because I guess it's back now.
Really?
Uh-huh. So that means they're going to let Foles run out the last three games and pad up his free agency value because they can't re-sign him next year. Like, they just don't have the money. And they have other needs. So, you know, Foles will probably be, like, the big quarterback on the market. Assuming he doesn't, like, shit the bed, which I think he will on Sunday because I think he'll, like, the Eagles will just get destroyed. Yeah, I'm flexing. I don't care. I'm going to be at that game, by the way, so I'm really hoping that the Rams take care of business. But anyway...
Well, they have to. They got to sit there and try and get that number one spot.
Well, they need to buy first. Like, if they win... Well, Chicago's not going to lose to Green Bay, but, you know, they need to stay ahead of Chicago now for the second seed, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think they can catch New Orleans, because New Orleans isn't losing.
Well, they got two games against Carolina.
And then the Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah.
So maybe Carolina beats them for one of them, but like the Saints will probably have to play on week 17 though if like the Rams keep winning and they keep winning.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, tomorrow on the fantasy team, need them for those championships.
Well, you'll have them for next week anyway because they won't be able to clinch home field unless like the Rams lose.
Yeah.
Which they're not going to lose the Eagles. I just don't see that happening.
Don't get too overconfident.
Well, I'm not saying it's... all right, I know it's another kick ass. I was kind of kidding. But I just think, like, the Rams just have too much firepower. The Eagles are too banged up.
No, I mean, if... if they can let it play... again, that overtime play that happened where Amari Cooper scored the touchdown, pure luck. If they can let stuff like that happen...
Well... like, I just think, like, the Rams will probably, like, really lean on Gurley this week because, like, McVay took a bunch of shit for not really running the ball that much the last 2 weeks. Which I get, he's trying to, like, preserve Gurley, but, like, it really affects, it really makes the show kind of slow down when they don't. So I can see them running a lot of their jet sweep and stuff with Gurley, and the Eagles are too banged up on defense, so I'm sure it'll work. And they'll get back into fighting shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And get back that confident swagger back to...
yeah,
that they had earlier in the season.
Well, yeah, like they have, like them and the Chiefs just haven't been right since that Monday night game.
Yeah,
like even though they had the bye, they both kind of like really just seemed like it took a lot out of them still, which is strange. Well, not strange because like that game was really intense, but like it just kind of funny how like it really carried over. Like the Chiefs looked flat against the Raiders, and the Rams looked flat against the Lions, and then. You know, last week the Rams just couldn't overcome the Bears' defense. The Chiefs, like, struggled against Baltimore. Like, it's been a really fun parallel, actually.
Yeah. Kind of see that they're still human and not this...
well, Mahomes still isn't human.
Yeah.
Like, I saw some of those throws he made against the Ravens. Like, oh my god. Like, thank god I have him on my fantasy team. Like, holy shit.
Hey, as long as like, he keeps throwing that to Tyreek, if Tyreek...
well, Tyreek might not play on Thursday.
I know. I'm hoping that... he does,
Look, I don't care.
I might find a different option for that.
I don't care who scores for KC as long as it's not Kelsey. The guy I'm going against in the playoffs has Kelsey, so I don't want that. But yeah, like it's just kind of funny how like their seasons, how the rest of their seasons have been kind of like a mirror of each other. But I do think like the Chiefs will be fine against the Chargers. That'll be a tough game. But the Eagles, the Rams should be able to take care of business because the Eagles secondary is like really banged up.
Yeah, and they only have four or five healthy guys, and they're all not the starters.
Yeah, that's not good.
Fifth and sixth string guys.
I know. So one way or the other, they should be able to move the ball pretty well against the Eagles. And then I don't know what Foles has. Like, he didn't look good at the beginning of the year, which is why they kind of rushed Wentz back. But
yeah.
So I don't know. And then, like, I'm not really afraid of anybody on their offense right now because, like, they can't run the ball. So, because they don't have any running backs, I don't think, anymore. And then, like, the only person that I'm, like...
What Sproles will worry about.
Yeah, I know.
I know Sproles is older, but...
I know. The Rams' run defense sucks. Like, they're last in the league in yards allowed.
Yeah.
Like, I think they average, like... they allow, like, 5.1 yards of game or a play
per
or whatever.
Carry,
yeah, per carry. Here we go. So, like, that'll be a problem, but if they can just hold Sproles, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Talib and Peters are playing a lot better.
Well, I think now that Talib is back, it's definitely helped Peters.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been able to get that confidence back.
Yeah, well, their defense has been playing well the last couple of weeks. It's just now the offense has to get it back, which they should.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, perfect time for them to rebound after the Chicago debacle, but...
Yeah, and like if Chicago has to come to LA, like I think that it'll be a completely different matchup because like you know
you won't have the weather and
well, I mean it'll be like yeah it'll be chilly but like you know trip
it'll be Southern California chilly.
I know,
but then that's summertime.
No, I know, but you know
Chicago summer right there is 60 degrees.
And like you know the home field played a huge part of it because like when Soldier Field's rocking, it's like it's a really tough place to play.
Yeah,
I mean Trubisky's gonna be Trubisky, so yeah. You don't know what that's gonna look like.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
I mean, I'm surprised that... Well, I guess I'm not surprised, because whoever leaves the Raiders seems to have a pretty good career afterwards.
Well, what, Mac?
Yeah.
Well, Mac had a good crazy. Career with the Raiders.
I know, but...
Like, Cooper's a bigger surprise than that.
Yeah, but I think Mac is just...
I know.
That's just... Start the season off like that. The way he did is just crazy.
If he didn't miss all that time, I would have said he would have like locked up Defensive Player of the Year, but I think that's Donald's to lose at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't know if Donald can destroy that Eagles line, they might actually get to that record. He might break Strahan's record.
What's he at right now?
He's at 16.5, I think, because he didn't get any sacks on Sunday, did he?
I...
No, he didn't. He got like two tackles, but like their line did a good job of keeping him in check.
Yeah.
But like if he gets like you know a couple sacks like on Foles and then they get the Cardinals and the Niners the last 2 weeks and I think they'll actually have to play that Niners game, you could get there.
Yeah, especially if they still have Mullins playing.
He's gonna get 6.5 more over the next 3 games.
That's doable.
Yeah, well, yeah. Why not? I mean, if anything, he'd at least tie like I think number 2 is Lawrence Taylor. Or no, Strahan's tied with Lawrence Taylor for number 1 all time for a season. J.J. Watt had like him and Justin Houston had like 20.5, so he can get there.
Yeah.
So that would clinch the Defensive Player of the Year.
I would think so.
But yeah, next Monday I'll be reporting from how the game was at the Coliseum. We'll have an Eagles fan friend that I'm going with to talk about that. So shifting gears from football, the reason why I wanted to have you on this week specifically was because. The Arrowverse did their annual crossover.
Yeah.
So the
those are always entertaining.
Yeah, they get better every year. Like the first one was kind of like whatever because it just weighed. They tried to get everybody in, and like they didn't have enough minutes.
Yeah.
Plus the invasion thing was kind of like whatever, but I think this wasn't as good as last year's, but it was still pretty solid.
Definitely entertaining, especially with. The introduction of Batwoman and
oh yeah, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did the Elseworlds storyline where what was it the mentor? What's his name? See, that's why I had you on here, because, like, I'm like
the
that's not watcher? That's not my corner. So, like, I forget, like, some of their names. But, like, anyway, they alter reality. So so the Flash and the Arrow switch lives. So it's kind of fun to see, like, Stephen Amell have to pretend to be the Flash and, like, kind of get used to the powers, and Barry just having a ball being the Arrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to convince everybody that that they're not who they are. That was all fun. And I just love when they have to interact. Like, especially when they get Supergirl on there. Like, she plays off of everybody really well, especially Barry.
Yeah, I think her and Barry are really...
It's a really fun brother-sister relationship.
Yeah, and definitely Oliver Queen plays that... I don't want to say the dad role, but he plays the...
Well, he's just a dick. Like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a crank.
Yeah.
No, it was just fun seeing him, like, you know, being really awkward, like, with Iris being all over him. He's like, oh, crap, that's my buddy's wife. Like, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And just, like, just Barry being just, like, completely puzzled by people not realizing he's not Barry Allen. Also, I didn't realize that Supergirl, because that's like, I don't watch Supergirl, and I stopped watching Arrow a while ago, but I still just watch The Flash, so I don't know what's going on in those shows, but their Superman and Lois Lane are really good.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, damn, how come the movies can't do that? Like, this when they're on the Kent farm, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I had stopped watching Supergirl, I think, after the first season.
Okay.
And then Arrow, I'm a season behind on that.
Yeah.
I don't really caught up on The Flash. Because it's entertaining.
Yeah, we'll get to, like, we'll cover The Flash in a minute, but, like, as far as the crossover goes, the big ticket was they introduced Gotham, because basically every year they try to backdoor pilot something in the Arrowverse.
Yeah, and they've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
And different... And the two different in Flash and Arrow before, and it's just nice to actually see it this time.
Yeah, they did a really good job with Gotham. They had a lot of really fun Easter eggs, especially when you get to Arkham. They do Arkham Asylum. That was fun.
The abandoned tower with the Wi-Fi code cracked me up.
Oh, Alfred.
Of course, it would be Alfred.
Yep. Ruby Rose. I didn't like. I don't know. If you don't know her, she's from. She's in The Meg. She's also in season 2 of Orange Is the New Black. Australian supermodel. She's Batwoman, and she's really good. Like, she's a perfect fit for that world.
Yeah, I definitely liked her in that.
Easy.
Yeah. But no, I thought that she... Even when she was in Orange Is the New Black, she kind of played that... Kind of like that mysterious kind of character and everything.
Mysterious badass.
Exactly, and that's what Batwoman is in the comics. So I think that was, you know, perfect fit for her in this...
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's a crossover and they're just introducing her, but again, I would like to see.
I loved her and Kara just having fun with each other. That was fun.
Yeah, that was definitely entertaining.
I'm just
surprised that, again, like, the other two didn't pick up on any of the hints, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I just love that Oliver just is like, oh, Batman's a myth. Like, that was a great running joke.
Yeah, it's not real. It can't be real.
Yeah, I like the two of the street names in Gotham were Nolan and Burton. That was nice.
Yep, that one. And then,
they had Edward Nygma was there, Oswald Cobblepot, so Riddler and Penguin. They had Mr. Freeze's gun.
Bane's mask.
Yeah, Bane's mask. Scarecrow's hallucinogen. Like, they did a really good job peppering in a bunch of stuff, and, you know, I don't know when Batwoman when that show is going to get picked up, if they've done one yet, but, like, that the Arrowverse does a really good job of backdoor pilots, like, when they introduced The Flash in season 2 of The Arrow.
Yeah.
The Legends of Tomorrow in season 2 or 3 of The Flash, I think. I believe so. And then they've done a really good job, like, when The Flash has gone over on Supergirl for, like, an episode. It's always fun.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really like what Greg Berlanti's done to the whole world. Like, even, well, he's the super producer. He's, like, he created all those shows.
Oh, gotcha. He's,
like, one of the most powerful people in TV. Like, he basically owns the whole CW at this point, plus a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
Like, his IMDb, you're like, damn. Because I think he signed, like, a huge deal with, I think, Warner Brothers now. Like, he's like their Shonda Rhimes. He just, like, produce create shows. I think because he's Black Lightning too, and
Okay.
Like one or two other things.
I haven't started.
I know. It's like one of those I want to. It's just like there's just too many.
Yeah. You don't have so much time in the day to watch.
I know. It's funny. Well, with The Flash, like that's like really the only superhero show I'll watch.
Yeah.
Now, like I don't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of the I think all the Marvel shows kind of suck. Which is fine because like Netflix is just jettisoning them anyway because the whole Disney thing.
Yeah.
Like I think you get season 2, The Punisher drops on Netflix in January, but then I won't be shocked when like in March they're like, oh yeah, The Flash isn't coming back. And then The Punisher is coming back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll say it.
Sorry.
Come back.
I meant The Punisher. Like they're dropping season 2 of The Punisher on Netflix in January, and then I'm sure they'll cancel it. And then Jessica Jones, same thing, because that'll be the last one I think.
I think that'll be the last one that's on Netflix, and then...
Because, yeah, they're losing all the Marvel shows to Disney...
Marvel shows, and I think all the movies as well, right?
Yeah, they're gonna eventually, but, like, because Disney's streaming service launches in, like, May, but, like, next month, like, your Incredibles 2 and Solo are gonna be on Netflix for a little bit.
Yeah, they're gonna try and cash out that deal.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's sort of the new world we're in, like, where all the streaming services are becoming all the cable bundles we left.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, Warner Brothers is starting their own streaming service, and then, which is why the whole Netflix spending money for Friends is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, like, Warner is eventually going to just, like, not take Netflix's money and just, like, have Friends for themselves. So now, like, you're kind of screwed. And then The Office might be leaving Netflix, too, because NBC's going to start their own streaming service.
Didn't they say they're going to try and reboot The Office or like try and bring
maybe? No, they're not going to. Like Carell's not going to do it, so there's no point if you're not going to get Carell. And if he would, like it just wouldn't work.
Yeah,
because they wrapped that show perfectly.
Yeah,
I mean they could have done about the season and a half of Andy Bernard as the boss, but whatever. Like I don't know if you've gotten there yet on The Office, but it's bad. Like there's a whole after Michael Scott leaves and you have Andy Bernard running the show for like a season and it's horrible because it doesn't work.
Okay.
And then he's gone for like half the year because I think around that time he was filming Hangover sequels and other stuff, and then the show was still bad, but then like its last like two episodes finished out really strong.
Okay.
But anyway. Yeah,
I'm still on the first season.
Yeah, the crossover was really good. Next year they've announced they're doing Crisis at Infinite Earth, so... This one was kind of like a lead up to that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of underwhelming. Like, I had fun, like, on the Kent farm and stuff and with Gotham, but then it just kind of fizzled out for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that when they introduced... And I could be biased on this because I both like Arrow and Flash
mm-hmm.
and Supergirl kind of just whatever with. But I felt like they started the... crossover event really strong, and then
yeah.
just kind of ended it poorly.
Well, yeah, because they didn't give Kara anything to do, and you know.
Yeah, it was more kind of focused on like Superman and Lois, which is you know great, but it's the Supergirl episode.
I know that's sort of the problem. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it kind of fizzled out for me. Whereas like the last year's one was kind of fun because you had like Barry and Iris's wedding, right?
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yep.
And then,
you got the Nazi...
Well, just everybody interacting. Like, they do a really good job with that.
Yeah.
Like, with Felicity getting the Geek Squad together with her, Caitlin, the other guy, and then...
Cisco.
Not Cisco, no, but the other guy that's on Arrow.
Oh,
Echo Kellum's character, like, the guy at the... Yeah. I forget his name, but yeah, like, they rounded up all those people. Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
what's
yeah.
his name, though?
I forget. I'm not going to look it up. We're too far in. I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's really fun, and they all hang out.
Yeah.
And Caitlin gets to have a little bit of fun with the Dragger to Arkham, and she gets to do Killer Frost.
I'm glad that they were able to get Killer Frost back, because...
Well, they were not going to, because that's where she's the most fun.
I know. But, yeah, seeing Killer Frost kind of act out and Arkham and everything was definitely
a nice
touch.
That was cool.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they did a good job with that. And then this season of The Flash in general has been really strong. They had their mid-season... By the way, having all the shows have their mid-season finale before the crossover is really smart, because at least now it feels like it's its own thing.
Exactly.
So it's not just like, well, we're just doing this crossover, the next week it's back to...
yeah, back to the normal one.
Yeah. Because like, they didn't have Nora in the crossover at all, which works, because she's back in her own time.
Yep.
Well, we'll get there. So this season of the Flash, I feel like it's been their strongest since season one. Like, I really like this season.
Okay.
Well, like the last season was good too with the Thinker. That was cool. But like sometimes it just felt like they'd spin their wheels and like, all right. Like,
there were a couple episodes where it was just like, okay.
Like let's move on.
Exactly.
Because they didn't have as many like metas of the week either. But this season they have. Like they've done a good job of having metas of the week and.
Yeah.
Like it's been kind of fun seeing Chris Klein as a cicada, like for us because we're huge.
Fidge.
No, Oz.
Oh yeah. Duh.
Hello, Chris Ostreicher, the world's greatest high school lacrosse player slash choir choir member, an eventual contestant on Dancing with the Stars and Fox Sports host. You know,
I didn't know he was on Fox
Sports. No, an American Reunion. That's what happens to him. Like he's. Yeah.
See, it's been forever since I've seen those movies. So
it's okay. Mondo and I only seen American Reunion once, and Mondo and I were, like, not in the right state of mind for that movie. It was a blast, but, like, I don't remember much of it.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those where the arc light lets you bring in booze.
Nice.
I know. But anyway.
I movie theaters do that now.
Well, yeah, but this is it was, like, hard stuff.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, and after that, by the way, we went to the 15th anniversary screening of the first one at the New Beverly, which was fun. That's a story for another time. Poor Tara Reid, that's all I'll say. I felt bad for her. Anyway, it's fun seeing Chris Klein just like being a bad guy. And actually, his storyline was pretty good, but it was kind of a nice thing that they kind of rope-a-dope you. He's not really the big bad. Reverse Flash was. I'm like, which. Now it makes all the stuff Tom Cavanaugh was doing as like a French or as a detective. Is it Sherlock? Did they just call him Sherlock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was. It was kind of weird that he was kind of flexing all year just as his stupid French accent as like Earth 37 Wells, who's like a thrice divorced detective.
I thought he was divorced like 7 times.
No. Was it? Oh yeah, it's like 6. But you like that's right.
Yeah.
But he had super. He had to give Superman his alimony check for wife number 3.
Yep.
that was incredible.
I can trust him, right? Yeah. He seems like a very trustworthy guy, right?
You know what? You're welcome, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that's a weird flex to have Tom Cavanaugh do a really bad French accent all year. But like, oh, that's because he's really good. It's going to be a Reverse Flash as well.
Yeah.
And he directed the 100th episode, by the way. That was cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think he's directed a couple, and then Danielle Panabaker, who's a Killer Frost, she's directing one of them later in the year too.
Okay,
but no, it was really cool that they brought Thawne back as the Reverse Flash, and I'm kind of mad at myself for not seeing that coming, because like I knew something was up with Nora, like I know she wasn't there just to hang out with her, get to know her dad.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of sense that like as soon as the season started, there's obviously
there's more something to her being back in Barry and the Barry's timeline
to bond with her dad. Yeah,
which I'm like, did she like screw something up, or was it her fault that he disappeared? And so because they had the whole thing where she hated Iris because Iris should have suppressed her powers and not tell her anything, but like there's got to be more to it.
Exactly.
I don't know why, but it should have occurred to me that they had been bringing back Reverse Flash. But you know, whatever. Right? It was really fun ride.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that 100th episode where they incorporated, you know, them going back in time to get the tools to try and beat Cicada.
Yeah, that was neat.
With the piece of Zoom suit and the. The tool that helped drain Barry's speed for Zoom. Sorry, I said Zoom twice. Avatar's suit.
There we go.
And Zoom's speed dampener.
And then when they were running back in time, you can see like the shark, and they had Grodd.
King Shark.
Yeah, King Shark, Grodd. That was all neat. Like they did a really good job with that. And
I'm glad that they brought. I was actually a little surprised that they brought the time rates into that. I figured that it would have been the Black Flash, the dead Flash and everything, because he's supposed to be the one that keeps the time mind safe in the comics, but you know, the time rates are also there too, so that works.
Well, what's really helped is what's her name, the girl that plays Nora on the Flash this season has been really good. I need to look her up, hold on.
I know her last name's Kennedy.
Yeah, I know. I almost called her like Sarah, I know it's like Sarah Parker Kennedy or something like that, but I know that's wrong. Hold on. 1 second.
Jessica Parker Kennedy?
I think that's it, actually. Hold on. No, she's been really good all year, and what's really funny, I guess, Jessica Parker Kennedy, good, there you go.
Got it.
Yeah, she's been fantastic this season. Like, she's been really fun. She played, even though in real life she's older than Grant Gustin and Candace West
yeah.
or Candace Patton, I should say. She plays like a teenager really well.
Yep.
Like, she's been kind of funny, just like seeing her facial expressions and just how she acts like a little kid and just seems like a kid.
Yep.
It's been a good through line. They did a good job with Caitlin's search for her dad. That was fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back in, because he's obviously not going to be going away anytime soon.
Probably not.
So.
Oh, yeah, they've done, this season's been really strong, and they've done a really good job with the metas of the week. Like the episode where they had that dude that can contort and like fold into shit.
Oh, God, that guy is creepy.
I know, but like, I'm like, all right, that's like an X-Files level monster of the week. That was really strong stuff.
Yeah, I think it was right around Halloween, right? Their Halloween episode?
Yeah, that was a Halloween episode. They've done a really good job of their stuff too. Like, they've given Cisco a lot to do. Ralph's still fun.
Yeah, I think Ralph is the true kind of like underdog of that show.
Yeah.
Just his character is just, I know he's kind of like the comic relief, but like,
well, yeah.
Based on the show and everything, you got that serious,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, we need to figure out where Cicada is, or, you know, who he's going to attack next. And then you got Ralph coming in going, like, wait, he can travel back in time? How is that possible?
Yeah, Ralph's still just befuddled at how all the meta stuff works, even though he's a meta. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Also, I just like that episode where he goes with, what's Joe's wife's name?
Cecile.
Cecile, there we go. Man, I'm not on it today, this week. No, yeah, the episode where he and Cecile go to, like, They go looking for that guy and try to gets her swagger back.
Yeah,
like that was a really fun pairing. I didn't
the FEMA thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I did, but I didn't. They do a really good job with their pairings.
Absolutely.
Like that's like it keeps everything fresh, and they haven't had a lot of Joe this year, which is kind of a bummer. But I liked the bit that he has his own lounge at Star Labs that no one knew about. That was a great bit.
Yeah, his nice little man cave there.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, like it's been a really strong season. I'm curious to see what they do with Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be, because I know Reverse Flash was the big villain that was in,
well, season one. That was the whole,
well, season one of that, but then season two of
what?
God, the we just talked about it.
Oh, the crossover?
Not the crossover, but the one with White Canary, or...
Oh, what, Arrow?
No, not Arrow. God, why am I drawing a blank on that show right now?
Legends of Tomorrow?
There we go.
Okay.
He was the big villain in Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, in season two.
See, I didn't watch Legends of Tomorrow, so...
Oh, yeah, he's... Because, you know, at the... end of season one of Flash,
mm-hmm.
is when he dies.
They kill him.
Yeah, so pretty much he's trying to outrun death and everything and stay alive, and so he needs the Sphere of Destiny or whatever to
change reality. I did not know that.
Keep him alive.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that explains why he's back. Because I was like, oh, how'd they get him?
But that's the thing though. The end of season two, he dies again.
Hmm.
Where he actually gets killed by the Black Flash. So,
okay.
That's where I'm going to see, because I know with this Ian Barthon, it's the same, you know, obviously it looks like the Harrison Wells.
Sure.
That was in the crossover from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year's Ian Barthon's, the crossover is different than
right.
season one of Flash.
It is sort of the hard part where they have, like, all, like, infinite Earth, so it's kind of hard to keep track sometimes.
Yeah. You definitely got to pay attention. But that's how it was.
Well, even then, you don't really have to, because they'll just make a joke about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they did last night, or for the crossover event.
Yeah.
Like, even the Legends were like, oh, I guess it's that time of year. If you saw the next episode, it was like, oh, I guess it's that annual crossover. It seems like it's annual now.
Yeah, I know, right?
So.
Well, that was kind of nice. They didn't, like, feel the need to shoehorn the Legends in. They just kind of let Barry and Kara and Oliver do their own thing.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of an overkill last year. Or
well, the first year, especially.
The first one with the, like, having everyone incorporated in it. They just, I think they kind of dropped the ball on that first
one.
Well,
yeah, not everyone. Yeah, there wasn't enough minutes to go around.
Exactly.
Plus, it just wasn't, the first one just wasn't fun because, like, it was still, you know, dipshit Barry. Because he, like, ruined the timeline. It's like, oh, he's, like, moody and not fun.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, those things really thrive and everyone just gets to, like, have fun with each other.
Exactly.
Like, they're all they're all meeting up at, like, summer camp or whatever for, like, a week. Before they have to go back to their own shows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of the other things The Flash this year I've really liked. Like I said, Sherlock Wells has been fun.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be really wear on me, but it just gets better every week.
Well, yeah, especially the perception where this is supposed to be the best Harrison Wells version of the whole multiverse, the smartest, you know.
He's a deadbeat.
Exactly. He's like the complete opposite.
He's just a loser.
Yeah.
But he does bring it once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it's nice to see that, yeah, you can have this brilliant, like, scientist guy, but then in reality he's just this piece of shit ex-husband type of thing. And
because Tom Cavanaugh's done a bunch of different Wellses, and like, and not all of them have worked. Like, some of them just, like, wear on you.
Yeah, like, why did you bring this type of Wells to the show?
Like, I don't mind, like, Playboy Wells is fun, but, like, you know, you can't be jerk ass Harry Wells the entire time, because that's just not fun to play every week.
Yeah.
So this has been a nice beat for him, and I think it's kind of, I really want to know how he manipulated Nora and what she's doing with all the time language gibberish.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said that that's supposed to get explained soon, isn't it?
Well, I imagine. I mean, I don't know when it comes back. I think it's like, what, either late January, early February?
I think they said January 15th.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
15th or 16th, something like that.
Yeah. So middle of January. Oh, that makes sense, because, like, it'll basically be after, like, the college championship and stuff, so all that bowl games and stuff are gone, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Like I said, I really love the season of The Flash, and also I really liked in the 100th episode, just Barry having to deal with Reverse Flash again, like, in the previous timeline was cool.
Yeah. Him, and then especially with...
Well, him having to, like, trying to tell his daughter, like, you know, Nora, do you not know why I hate this guy? Like,
yeah, how do you not realize this? And I think that was the, like, that moment when they get done with Zoom and everything, they fall off into that, timeline that they wanted to, the spot where they wanted to get out. And he's like, why don't we just go talk to... a Reverse Flash, like, he seems like a nice guy type of thing. Like, the fact that that sentence alone, if you're paying attention, is like, okay, she obviously has a relationship.
She's met him,
and
yeah,
he's obviously working her somehow.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't pick up on that. I was like, oh, all right, maybe she's, I don't know, but I didn't think about it. But yeah, well, the father daughter stuff has been really good with Barry and Nora.
Yeah,
like I kind of like this. Feels like the first. Like, I'm really glad this is, like, the first Flash season where, like, Barry isn't keeping a secret for no reason. Like, they that was where the other seasons got in trouble. Where, like, I'm keeping this thing from this, like, one big thing from you until I have to tell you.
Like, every year, like, Barry disappears.
Barry fucks something up and doesn't want to tell anybody. And it's like, dude, you have to tell us. And then it's like, I'm glad they dropped that. Like, everyone's been kind
I'm
of
glad
upfront.
They did that. Like. First couple of episodes, not get that out of the way.
Exactly, because then you're just spinning your wheels. Like, all right, can we just know already?
Yeah.
Like, that's a kind of murder them in the early years, or having Iris take, like, 2.5 seasons to find out he's the Flash.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad they're like, all right, we can stop the secrets. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, we're good.
It's going to be interesting, too, is that once we figure out that language that Nora is writing... Now, granted, remember... Last year when they pulled Barry out of the Speed Force, he's writing that same language on the walls.
Well, wasn't the last thing, like, the timeline is malleable. Like, that was, like, one of the things he was able, like, that they revealed in, like, the last episode.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's translated to.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see if, obviously, they, Sherlock found Nora's diary or whatnot and is writing that language. I wonder if they're going to sit there and pull the records for when Barry came out and kind of decipher what was being said there too.
Right, and I imagine when they come back, it's going to be a mostly Nora and Thawne episode where you find out what's going on. What year are they in, 2049?
I believe so.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact time.
Right.
Somewhere in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be a heavy future episode. Are you going to see how that all happened?
I think one part would be cool is that, you know, we're on season 5 of Flash now, and they've obviously made references of the future, like, especially with Don talking about the future Barry Allen.
Well, yeah.
And I think it would be cool if, obviously, it can't happen now since they're on the break, but in the second half of the season, Barry goes to that timeline, obviously not meeting his future self, but seeing him, or maybe even seeing the Flash Museum. I think that would be a nice little touch, but
just a fan. Well, I like that they're paying off what they paid off in the pilot when you find out that, oh, Wells can walk, and what's going on with this is that the Flash disappears in, like, 2050 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, they kept that thread going, they kept that thread alive.
Yeah.
I was kind of, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's right. The very first episode, they imply that somewhere down the road, the Flash, like, disappears mysteriously.
Yeah, it would be cool if they kind of figured out why. Obviously,
I think they're gonna get into that, but, like, where he goes and why that is, and you're gonna find out, like I'm sure you'll get a future Iris who's kind of a dick, and just, you know, you'll get that, I'm sure. Like, she'll be. Barry will be trying to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah.
Well, young Barry, anyway.
Yeah.
So, we'll see where the Flash comes... how the Flash comes back in January. I'm not going to check in on Supergirl or Arrow. Like, I can just do them when they do crossovers. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, shifting gears a little bit, there were two big trailers that dropped in the last 2 weeks. The first one, since we're in superheroes, was finally the trailer for Avengers Infinity War Part 2, or Avengers Infinity War Endgame.
Yeah, it's Endgame. It's not Infinity War Part 2.
Same difference.
Even though it's
same difference.
At this point.
But, well, what'd you think?
I am so glad that they incorporated Hawkeye into this.
Well, they had to.
And especially...
Jeremy Renner can't be flipping houses forever.
That, but the fact that they're incorporating Ronin into this is just fantastic. Now, it's not confirmed.
Wait, Ronin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, he's going to be the bad guy in, he's going to be the bad guy in, Captain Marvel.
No, Ronan in the comics was, like, used by different characters, and he's pretty much like a badass.
Oh, you see, that's why I needed you, well, so I'm glad you're here, I don't know these things.
Yeah, so that's what everyone's talking about online. It's not confirmed yet, but supposedly...
Well, I know Ronan's the bad guy in one of the bad guys in Captain Marvel, so that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a different Ronan, though.
Oh, we're not... It's... Okay, now I'm confused.
Yeah. I have to read more on Ronan, but that's the big talk, is that Jeremy... The whole... When Jeremy Renner takes off his... he's got the sword and everything. That's... Ronan's like he was played by different superheroes in the comics.
This isn't Ronan the, damn it, what is it? Ronan the Accuser. Ronan the Accuser.
No.
Okay.
This isn't the alien Ronan. This is like human Ronan.
Ah, goddamn it! All right, cool.
Yeah, you gotta love the comics. It's very complicated.
For me, like, the trailer was kind of okay. I'm like, I get it. Like, you want to show that everyone's all sad and everyone's broken and, you know, and everything, but I did like that at least Ant-Man shows up at the end. That was fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they incorporate how he got out of
the quantum realm. Yeah, I'm sure Captain Marvel's going to do it, but let's see, I'm trying to think what else is in the trailer. Yeah, Tony leaving the message for Pepper. That was really nice. Captain America doesn't have a beard anymore.
Yeah, clean shaven Cap is back.
I know. It's I guess.
Well, he's got a clean shaven for his last movie, so.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's gonna be depressing.
Whatever, like, you know, like, I'm, you know, Chris Evans had a good run.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I know he said he wants to go into directing, so.
Yeah, well, he's made his money. Yeah. That's fine.
Absolutely.
And
who says he's done? He might come back and do a cameo.
Because I'm sure he'll die. You know, if he's going to leave, it's because he's going to die.
Know that. He could just hand the shield down to either Winter Soldier or Falcon and.
Yeah, true.
Go off in his separate ways.
Nah, I think he'll end up dying. Like someone's going to die this time. Like, for real, die.
Well, yeah.
Although I do find it really funny, like, that they're not even pretending that, like, all these people are gone. Because, like, you have Spider-Man Far From Home in July, and then they announced the Doctor Strange sequel, too, so.
Well, I know. They're obviously not going to be.
No, I know. It's just funny. Because, like, you'd think they'd keep up the charade a little bit. I mean, ironically, for circumstances that have nothing to do with Thanos, like, the Guardians actually might be done. I know. Yeah. Well, it's a different podcast. That's a very different podcast.
Different podcast for a different day.
I know, but, you know, the idea... So the Guardians might not come back. Because no one wants to do it unless, like, James Gunn is doing it, so... Whatever. Infinity War Endgame looks good. I'm sure you're going to get another, like, longer preview for around the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, on Disney, I just front-load, like, a bunch of stuff for the Super Bowl, because I know they'll probably drop a new Aladdin, because they'll kind of have to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's coming.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, they're going big next year.
Yeah, I've mentioned several times in here that Disney's basically going to have the biggest flex year of all time.
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering...
What, eight or nine movies for that next year?
I'm just counting this out again. Captain Marvel, Dumbo, Avengers... Aladdin, Toy Story 4, Spider-Man Far From Home, Artemis Fowl, Frozen... Lion King, Frozen 2, and Star Wars Episode 9. I got, like, ten movies.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I've said before ad nauseum, I know Aladdin's probably going to be the... Aladdin and Artemis Fowl probably would be the two write-offs, but whatever. I'm just guessing. Like, those are the...
Hey, you know what? They all can't be winners.
But... I know. I'm just saying, like, a lot of evidence states that one of those, at least one of those 10 movies, isn't going to do well. And I'm leaning towards Aladdin as the most likely suspect, with Artemis Fowl right behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I just don't know. The trailer for that looked okay, but it looked too much like A Wrinkle in Time. So I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's just be real. Like, I know the books are big, but compared to all the other IP they've got going next year.
I think they'll be okay.
Like, I know, and I'm sure, like, Captain Marvel will be a gigantic hit. I think Dumbo will do, like, well enough. But the other trailer that dropped this week, finally, was the second trailer for Godzilla King of the Monsters. And the first trailer was my favorite trailer of the entire year, like, bar none. Like, I'm a huge monster movie fan. Like, I grew up, like, watching every Godzilla movie you could find on VHS. Like, incessantly, I'd record them off the Sci-Fi Channel. Like, that's my jam. And I love the 2014 Gareth Edwards movie. Like, that was visually stunning, and it explained why he got Rogue One. Although I wish he would have gotten to make the Rogue One he wanted to, but what are you gonna do? Anyway, like, that the aesthetic he had for Godzilla was incredible. I know a lot of people are bitching because there was only, like, 8 minutes of actual Godzilla.
But this trailer and this sequel is gonna be great.
And Kong Skull Island was fucking dope. Like, that was fun. Like, it's been on Cinemax, and, like, it's insanely rewatchable.
Yeah, that's going to be a good movie once they get the whole monster universe kind of built up. And
this one, like, the first trailer that dropped was, like, the Comic-Con one, it was just breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like, it was just perfect. Like, and they didn't show too much. Like, they showed a lot of Rodan, but, like, they didn't show any of Mothra and Ghidorah.
Yep, they played that perfectly.
I know. And
especially with this other trailer, the trailer that just dropped.
Well, yeah, this trailer was all like, all right, here's the fucking money shots.
Yeah.
Like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you want Mothra, or you got Mothra. You want to see a King Ghidorah, we'll give you King Ghidorah. And also, like, oh, by the way, Anguirus is in this movie. He's coming up from the mountains. He's the In case you if you know anything about monsters, he's the he looks like he's the spiky guy.
Yeah, kind of. I almost say
and
he
there's
just reminded me of like a the armadillo.
there you go.
So.
Yeah, he's like that. And then there's also some sort of scorpion monster that shows up too.
Yeah.
But it just looks holy shit. Like it, they really are taking the scale to a new level.
And especially I love how with Godzilla, where previous, obviously this is back in, I'll probably get this wrong, but like the 70s when they
Oh.
did Godzilla.
Well, the OG Godzilla is like 54, I
Yeah, okay,
believe.
so I'm not too
54.
far off.
54, but they kept. It's like they just keep making them. So there's
Yeah.
ones in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
But they play it as towards like, modern era during those times. And especially now with the new ones, it's modern times for us as well, where the technology is so much
Well, the
better.
whole
And
Monarch thing was a really smart thread, like that. So that it's an expanded universe, but it's like
yeah.
they don't. They're not. They don't go crazy with it. It's
Exactly.
just that's a good through line because like the Monarch stuff in Kong Skull Island is pretty cool, and they've cast really well.
Yeah.
I mean, this one you have Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things.
You got the new Verizon Wireless guy,
Yeah,
bro.
Thomas Middleditch.
Oh,
Oh,
sweet.
Tywin effing Lannister or Charles Dance. He's the bad human in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like they've done a really good job casting it, and it just looks incredible.
Yeah, and that's what I like about the Godzilla movies is that you know what you're getting. You're getting just monsters going out and
Well,
beating the crap
the
out of each
complaint
other.
with the first one is like it took too long to get to the fireworks factory, like of your Milhouse. Like you're just waiting, which fine, I get it. But they wanted to be like Jaws, so they didn't like show too much too soon. But then once you get to the fight, it's awesome.
Exactly, and that's what makes a
Well,
classic. You need to
the
build it
problem
up.
with, I mean, the one complaint I would have with the first one, which I fucking love, is that like the human characters kind of sucked. Like I know like whatever, who's going to see Godzilla for the humans, but it's like it just wasn't interesting. And if you're gonna only have Godzilla be in the movie for like 8 minutes, kind of need a little bit more, especially when you kill Bryan Cranston off in the first 20 minutes. That's rough.
Yeah.
Like I love Aaron Taylor Johnson, but like he's just kind of stiff in that,
Yeah.
and they didn't give Elizabeth Olsen anything to do. Which is, again, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, I'm kind of reflecting on that. Yeah, she didn't really
No, like he's trying to get to her. Like
just there.
the human stuff was kind of jumbled, but whatever. Like,
Yeah.
but the action sequences were incredible. I can watch that
Yeah.
Halo jump sequence a million times.
Yeah,
Like,
that part was intense.
you're watching there. Oh, Gareth Edwards is a real fucking director. Like, that's why. Again, that's why he got Rogue One.
Yeah.
Although, again, like it just didn't quite go his way, but it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
I still ride for Rogue One. I don't care. I understand why it was a mess, but that third act is amazing,
Yeah.
and I really hope he gets to come back and do something else.
Well, I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I know. I wish he would have done the sequel, but whatever. Like, it looks amazing. Like they've done a really good job making it look just so like hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like just the way they do the color. Like the color palette's really strong in that. Like everything's so distinct. Mothra's light luminescence is cool. Ghidorah with the lightning.
Yep, and especially them coming out of, their—I don't even say hiding places, their resting places and everything is just, you're
Well, they
getting
had Rodan
total.
crumbs, and you're like, holy
You're
shit.
yeah, you're getting
Like the
total chaos and
whole point
everything.
is you just go, whoa.
Yeah.
Like it just like, okay, this is awesome. Like I get it, the scale is immense.
Yeah.
Like, and they just show the
Am I the
whole.
only one that laughs when they sit there and you got these two giant monsters fighting? And then you got a squad of soldiers right
I
here
know.
just going,
That's kind of.
you know what, hey, we're gonna chime in too and just
I know.
shoot
That's
these things.
sort of the deal, though. Like,
I know,
that's.
it's just it's funny to
Yeah,
me.
I know.
That's what they
Well,
did in the old
with like.
movies and
Well, with O'Shea Jackson's part of this task force, I think it's in the Japanese movies, too. Like, when you get Mega Godzilla, there's like an actual Godzilla military force. So that's kind of a nice nod to that. I mean, I just really I've been waiting for a kick-ass monster movie, and then they've got Godzilla vs. King Kong coming the year after, and then eventually they're going to get to Destroy All Monsters, which I'm super excited for, because that's like one of the best ones they have, the best movies they've ever done, where they're all on Monster Island and they all have to fight King Ghidorah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
See, it's been forever since I've watched all those.
Oh yeah, they're on a bunch of them are on Stars.
Well, I'm getting my son Zach involved in.
Yeah, I think Destroy All Monsters was 68, I think. Like, they a bunch of aliens manipulate all the monsters to go to Monster Island, and they bring in King Ghidorah, and like they want all the monsters confined to one place, and it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
Also, I really think it's like it's one of those things I've read a bunch about because I just can't get enough. So I guess did you ever see the OG Mothra?
I want to say I have, but it's.
Well,
forever.
Fine, but one of the things is Mothra, there's the two little like 6-inch tall girls that can communicate with Mothra.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously you can't do that now, for various reasons that are probably acceptable. So I guess Vera Farmiga and Millie Bobby Brown are probably going to be the ones that can communicate with Mothra. I think that's what they're setting up for. That's kind of neat. I want to see how that goes. But yeah, Godzilla King of the Monsters is probably going to be my favorite movie of the entire year, which is amazing because you also have Star Wars Episode 9 and Avengers and stuff too. But I just know it's going to be... I'll be mad if that sucks. I'll be legitimately pissed if they shit the bed on this. But I don't think they will. I trust them.
Yeah, I mean, from what we've seen so far, it would be hard for them to really, like you said, shit the bed.
Yeah. Because, because you know there's going to be a lot of fights, so you know it won't be like the first one where it's a lot of build-up.
Yep.
I'm excited for this.
I'm just hoping that, I'm just hoping that we get a good fight scene with all of them.
You're going to get several.
So.
Because, I've watched the trailer 1,000 times, so I'm kind of okay, so Godzilla's going to fight Ghidorah in Antarctica, which is where Ghidorah is, they have him frozen in the beginning, and they're going to obviously fight again, but this time with Mothra and Rodan, too. It's going to be a lot of monster mayhem, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
I know. 2019 is going to be really fun. I think it's going to be really fun a popcorn movie year.
The whole year is just gonna be.
Well, I don't know what the real movies are gonna be. Well, not real movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I forget what's coming down the pike on that end, but I just know from a blockbuster perspective, it's gonna be a really good year.
Yep.
I mean, you get the very beginning of the year, you get Captain Marvel in March.
Yeah.
I think, and then even before that, you get a couple bigger movies too. Alita: Battle Angel or whatever, but I think it might suck. I don't know. But
regardless, you're gonna have at least. A good solid movie per month for the rest of the year.
Well, Dumbo and Captain Marvel are in the same month, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Plus a bunch of other shit that I forget is coming out next year too.
Yeah.
And not even just Disney, just other things. Isn't
Dark Phoenix coming out
Oh my god, yeah. It's in November.
Okay.
I think. I don't know, they keep shifting the fucking date. And even with what's it? Because damn it, was it not Inhumans? The X-Men movie, it was an X-Men spinoff, where they're in an asylum. It was supposed to come out last year, and then it was supposed to come out earlier this year. Damn it, it was they're doing it, it was done like a horror movie, where they're all in an asylum, but they all, the twist is they're all mutants.
Oh, I remember talking to you. This.
Yeah, the trailer that dropped was really cool. Then, for whatever reason, Fox kind of shelved it.
Yeah.
They shelved it twice. They're like, oh, well, reshoots. And you're like, okay, well, reshoots happen. That's just part of the deal. And then they kind
of,
they put it on ice for a while, and no one knows why. But it looked really cool. It looked like a different, how Logan was pretty much just a Western, but with mutants.
Okay.
This was a horror movie, but with mutants. It was really cool. It was a really cool idea. I'm gonna look at the title right now. It started with an I. I thought it was in Humans, but I know that's Marvel.
I'll go ahead
and take this. The New Mutants.
There we go.
Yeah, I guess it's for realsies coming out in August, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Arya Stark's in that one. Which, by the way, that's also next year. Fucking Game of Thrones. 2019
is going to be a good year for just sitting down and watching good shows and good movies.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good pop culture year. I'm really. Yeah. By the way, though, I am kind of sad that Dish is still fighting with HBO or with AT&T because like I don't get HBO now. So
same with Dish.
No, that's what I mean. Like Dish is fighting with HBO. So
yeah,
like fucking hell. Well, the AT&T owns HBO. That's part of the deal.
Gotcha.
Like AT&T Time when they merged with Time Warner, they also got HBO the deal because HBO is owned by Warner Brothers.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's a whole there's a whole media consolidation thing that we can talk about forever. But like, you know, you're getting a lot of monopolies now.
Yeah.
Which is leading into the streaming market. So that'll be fun for everyone who wanted to be a cord cutter. You're gonna probably just gonna have to get bundles now. Like you would if you had Comcast or some shit.
Yeah.
Like it all circles back.
Yep.
All right.
The old circle of life there.
Well, circle of life, the Lion King.
Yep.
Which I talked about the trailer with Mondo last week, but I'm like, good lord. Like I can just see that's just gonna print money.
Yep.
And like I was talking to Mondo about,
that was what, number two all time for views in 24 hours?
Probably.
Like 200.
What was number one?
It was Infinity War, but then Endgame beat out Infinity War.
Well,
so I think Endgame was at like 240 million views.
Really?
In 24 hours and
wow.
And then Infinity War was like 230.
Okay.
And I think Lion King was like 220 something.
Wow. Well,
all in 24 hours.
Good lord. It's funny is I don't even think they need another trailer for that. I mean, obviously they're gonna, because like you're gonna want to hear like Donald Glover as Simba, and you know, obviously Beyonce as Nala. Like everyone's gonna want, you're gonna want to hear all the voices.
I forgot that she's gonna be Nala.
Oh, that was the bit. Remember that was the big mic drop at the end when they're going through the cast, like Donald Glover, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Seth Rogen, Billy Eichner, John Oliver.
I know, but then
Beyonce, Knowles Carter.
Yeah, then it's just gonna be, oh my god, Beyonce's so good. She's adding another element to her game.
Well,
I'm over Beyonce.
I know we're not. You're not allowed to talk ill against Beyonce. Yeah, the Beehive will get you.
Yeah.
Or the Beegency. Have you seen that SNL sketch?
No.
Or yeah,
I'll
some
have
of
to
their,
watch that though.
Oh yeah,
it sounds great.
Because they bring in Keith or Sutherland as Jack Bauer for it. Like I forget which one. It's like someone speaks ill of Beyonce. They're just like on the run from like the Beegency. But Well, I mean, I'm sure you're going to get a trailer with, like, probably around Dumbo, you'll get one where, like, you hear all the you hear everybody doing their voices.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, like, wondering, like, when Disney's going to dole out stuff, because they got trailers all year. Like, I don't know when they're going to drop Frozen 2. I'm like, do they wait for Toy Story 4, or do they just do it earlier? Like, with Aladdin or something?
I can probably see it with... I can for sure see it with Toy Story, because that fits that same.
That's in June though, like, and the Frozen 2 is in November. Like, I don't know, because I know you'll get the first Star Wars one with Avengers. Like, you just know what's happening.
Yeah,
like that'll be your first taste of Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like my God, like, like I'm so happy about all that. Like, I know it feels weird, like, just being completely pro in the tank for Disney, because, you know, it's Disney, but whatever. That's who I am.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right.
I don't have to be very happy with that.
I know. Well, yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, and speaking of which, Disney announced, like, for their next Pixar movie for next year, that they announced the cast for it, and it's pretty cool. Chris Pratt and Tom Holland, a.k.a. Star-Lord and Spider-Man, are going to play brother elves. They have to go on a quest.
Ooh,
Julie okay. Louis-Dreyfus is in it. Octavia Spencer's in it. I think it's called Outbound or Outward. Look this up because they dropped the whole synopsis for it today. It takes like there's like a suburban like a fantasy world, so it's like Zootopia but with like elves and stuff.
Okay.
Hold on. I think it's called. Like and the two Onward, there we go. God, I cannot talk today. Anyway, yeah, Onward, and it's they're elves. They try to go out into the world and find out that there's still magic and happiness there. So that sounds cool. I know you'll get a teaser for that during Toy Story 4.
Oh yeah,
because it's Pixar and Pixar. It's what it'll do.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Pull out the heartstrings for sure.
Oh my god! Well, Toy Story 4 is gonna maul everybody.
Yep.
Like even Tom Hanks is like, yeah, this is like the hardest one I've had to do. I'm like, fuck, really? Like the third one was a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like my daughter really loves Toy Story 3, and like, oh, crap. Like the whole time you're just like, like I just try to do other things when that last like 15 minutes roll by.
Yep, that dumpster scene is just.
Well, the incinerator.
There we go.
Well, you get the incinerator, then like they get home, and then like Andy's mom kind of loses it when she realizes the room's empty, and then Woody says goodbye to all the toys, and then. Oh, the toys show up with not Molly, that's his sister, with what's her name? The little girl at the end of Toy Story 3.
I want to say it with an A, like
happy. No, it's not an A. It's like Natalie or something like that. Anyway, it'll come to me. But, you know, Andy gives her all the toys, and it's like, oh,
doing
shit.
The introductions and everything.
Oh,
like,
god damn it. And then, like, Woody's
right
in the feels. And then, like, Woody's in the box, and, like, he doesn't want to give Woody up, and then he's like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you bastards.
I mean, so let's be real, though. Like, you're going to college, and you're going to take your cowboy doll to college, like...
Well, I know.
I get it's a sentimental toy, but like.
Well, I know, but
I was
like. It's,
Ninja Turtle fan. I wouldn't take my Ninja Turtle.
It's about,
toys to
I know, but it was about growing up, and it's like, like letting go. Even though there was a camp that's like, well, what do you think of his toys? Like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Like, they kept hammering the whole point. Like, there's no. Toys aren't a place for college.
Yeah.
Toys have no place in college.
Exactly.
But no, the fourth one looks fun.
Those type of toys.
Like, I know, right?
The adult buzz and the adult buddy.
Yeah. No, the fourth one, like when I saw Ralph Breaks the Internet, they had a scene from Toy Story 4 with Key and Peele. It was incredible.
Oh, were there the
carnival toys?
The carnival toys, yeah.
Like that was nice.
That is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah, they did their Key and Peele bit where they're basically it's the valet sketch from Key and Peele, the Liam Neeson's guys.
Yeah.
By the way, Jordan Peele's next movie comes out next March too, and I heard it's going to be good. It's a haunt. It's like a haunted, not a haunted house, but like a home invasion movie.
Okay.
I mean, if you like,
that's not The Escape.
No, it's called Us.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it's called Us.
Cause I saw a preview today. I think it's like
no, there isn't a preview for that yet. I think you'll get a preview in like early next year.
Okay.
But because I think it comes out in like March or April. Like,
oh.
It's just follow. Yeah, it's follow up to Get Out. It's gonna make a ton of money.
Yeah, I never saw that.
You never saw Get Out?
No.
Get Out's good. Don't let the Woody Show poison you. It's a good movie.
No, I just... Shout out to the Woody Show.
I know, shout out to the Woody Show.
But I just never got around to seeing it.
No, it's a solid thriller.
Okay.
Like, it was very entertaining. Like, I'm glad Peele won Best Original Screenplay for it. Which it's really weird knowing how much power Jordan... Like, Jordan Peele's quietly, like, super powerful right now.
Well, he was also in
He's on Big Mouth, which is nice.
Yeah. But was he in the Predator movie?
No, that was Key.
Oh, okay.
No, like, Peele's producing a bunch of stuff. Like, he's producing a Candyman remake. He's got a Twilight Zone, a new version of the Twilight Zone coming on CBS at all. CBS's All Access service. And they've got, like, a bunch of people coming on there.
Okay.
Like, he's got his movie coming. He's, like, he produced Black Klansman, which is going to be up for Best Picture, probably. Like, he's, like, got a lot of juice right now. And he's married to Gina on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, good for him.
I know. Like, it's crazy how far they've come in, like, the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, he's got this Netflix movie he's doing with Eddie Murphy that I heard is, like, awesome.
Eddie Murphy.
I know. He had his 10th kid.
How old is he now? Like, 50-something? He has his 10th kid?
Hold on. How old is Eddie Murphy? I know. Hold on. How old is Eddie Murphy? How old do you think he is? I'm going to say like 55.
I think I'm going to say he was older, like
58, 59. 58? 57.
Oh, right in the middle.
Yeah. Anyway.
I cannot imagine being 57 years old and having to take care of a newborn.
I know. Well, Jeff Goldblum had a kid, had his first kid and he's in his 60s. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, if you're Jeff Goldblum, why you'd want to have kids, because, you know, you're Jeff Goldblum. But anyway, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else we need to hit on? No, I think we're good. I think we got everything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, Wes, and helping me nerd out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or wait, no, not nerd out. That's another podcast. It's a different podcast. Geek out on stuff. I'm sure I'll have you and Mondo on once the playoffs roll around, because I know the Cowboys will probably, well, they'll be a fourth seed, so they'll have to play Seattle, so I'll be the biggest Cowboy fan that week.
Yeah.
Don't lose to Seattle, please. I don't want that.
I don't want to lose to Seattle.
It's so not fun.
No, I mean, look, I get Pete Carroll came from Southern California.
I don't care about that. Fuck Pete Carroll.
Fuck the Seahawks.
Well, fuck Pete Carroll. I've hated Pete Carroll since he was a coach at USC.
Exactly.
So. We're both Bruins people. We can't root for Pete Carroll.
No.
But,
I mean, I can root for him this weekend because I have their defense on my team.
Oh, really?
They're playing San Francisco, so
oh, God. Well,
I need a big game from them.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't want another deep Seahawks playoff run. And it's like,
no, because then we get all the annoying fans, bandwagon fans. Like,
oh, I know.
Yeah, I've been here since day one.
In 2011.
Yeah. Seriously.
No, I knew them before they were good in 2010. Yeah.
That off season.
The year they went 7-9 and won the division and won the West. Yeah, I was there for that. No, but cuz you know they'd probably play LA, and like I don't want that, cuz I'll have a heart attack that entire game.
Yeah.
Actually, well, they're probably going to go to New Orleans unless like whoever ends up winning the sixth seed. Whoever the hell that ends up being.
Yeah, because that's all bottled between, like, Carolina.
Well, Carolina's in free fall. They're firing Riverboat. I think it's the end for Riverboat Run.
So you got Carolina, you got...
Minnesota. God help us, Green Bay's still fucking lurking. Like, if they run the
table... That's one team I don't want to win. As a Cowboys fan, fuck Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I love Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure he's a cool guy. But every Cowboy fan should hate that guy in the playoffs.
Well, you know, maybe if you had a better pass rush when you played him both years, you would have won.
Maybe if the refs didn't screw us over in that first one, and then...
Well, the second one, you blew, didn't you? Didn't they give up a lead in that one, or was it just back and forth?
It was back and forth, because that was the rookie year.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know how... Jared Cook got his feet in when he caught that sideline catch. Like, that was just...
I don't know.
Such a great... Like, hands down, great catch by him. But...
But I'm sure you guys will be the night game for our fantasy banquet, so I'm all for it.
I'll take it.
We'll get whatever that... I think in the afternoon it'll be whatever that garbage... whatever the garbage AFC playoff game is. And then the night game will be Seahawks-Cowboys.
Well, depending, because whoever wins... what's it, the West?
No. Both Wests are already clinched by the Chiefs and the Rams. Oh, actually, the Chiefs haven't technically clinched yet.
Yeah, the Chiefs haven't clinched it yet. Because
but they're going to be the one... But they'll be the one seed. They'll get the bye. I mean, like, the garbage one. Or, the Bengals-Texans games of yore.
Yeah.
Those games. Like, the Saturday afternoon ones.
Yeah.
you'd get T.J. Yeldon and someone else... Not T.J. Yeldon, what was his name? The Texans quarterback, Yates. T.J. Yates.
Yeah.
T.J. Yates and Andy Dalton. Or that year it was Raiders-Texans, and it was like Connor Cook. And
Marvin Lewis still has his job.
Because Paul Brown doesn't give a shit. Like, Paul Brown, I remember they had to install like a hardcore salary floor, so Paul Brown would actually be forced to spend money. Like, he had, so, like, as in, like, everybody got an extension, and, like, he was just handing out extensions, because he had to, like, make up the gap. Like, his dad is a cheap shit, and he's a cheap shit.
Did you hear that, I guess, at a Bengals game, it's more expensive to drink water than beer?
Really?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Wow. Well, no one's going to Bengals games right now, anyway.
Yeah.
If I'm them, I just blow that up, but Paul Brown won't. It'll just stay the course. But, yeah, that's good. I really hope they don't hire Hugh. I mean, it would be funny, but come on. He shouldn't be coaching anything anymore.
No. I just like the fact that got fired from the Browns for not winning. Well,
they've won more in the last month than they ever won with Hugh, which is incredible.
Exactly. And then since Hugh left and joined the Bengals again, they haven't won at all.
I know.
That's just funny to me.
It's sad. They should really just jettison that whole roster and just start over, but again, they won't.
No. You feel bad for guys like AJ Green.
I know.
Who's there?
If I'm like some team with like a
Gene Watkins, there we go.
Like, I don't know. Maybe if the Packers don't feel like using both of their draft picks they have this year, like trade like something for AJ Green. Give him a new home. He deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But all right. So that's the show for this week. I'd like to thank Wes for coming on. I'll be back next week. I'll be reporting from my experience at the Coliseum after the Rams beat the Eagles and knock them out of the playoffs officially, and clinch the East to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, the Rams don't have anyone on their injury report, so it's looking good. All right, see you guys next week. Bye bye. I'm living my life right, intense. On the edge, on the wire. I'm from the group where friction leads to fire. Stack your bricks, the time is take your pick. Do it, don't. The track, alchemist. Yo, my life is good. I got my peeps in the mix, so. First come to roots, my peoples come first. I got worldwide family all over the earth. And I worry about them all for whatever it's worth. From the birth to the hearse, through streets, the guns burst. Words I disperse are here to free minds. Yeah.